So I wanted to try and play this thing. So that was when I was first introduced to it, which was back when I was 11 at school. And I persuaded my father to buy a guitar for me for 7 guineas. And it went from there.
Am I right in thinking that your father also convinced you it would be a smart idea to take some lessons?
That's right. He said if I was going to play this thing, he was either going to have someone teach it to me properly or he's going to smash me across the head with it. So I actually, I took the lessons for a year, classical lessons, and it got me onto the right footing. So I, using all the fingers and the right strokes of the plectrum and the nonsense that goes with it. But I think one always needs that. When you're first going into an instrument, it needs to be set in the right direction. Otherwise, you can pick up some very bad habits, which some guitarists have. Like drinking.
So when you left school, what career did you embark upon for a few months?
I went to London Airport as an apprentice radio mechanic, and I stayed there for about a year. Then after that, I went into a professional band, playing 3 or 4 gigs a week. We had gigs up in Newark and Grantham, which were like 100 miles away, which I could never understand why. It would be places like Hammersmith Pally, then Grantham the next day in a Bedford. And we had a Bedford van, which the door wouldn't shut. But those type of things you remember for a long time. It's the roots, it's part of growing up, I suppose, and business. Now, I was in that band for about 6 months. And then Screaming Lord Sutch saw me and wanted me to come for an audition, of which I went to. And passed the audition. I think Peter Townsend also went. And strangely enough, he failed. I don't know why. And I got accepted, so I was in there. And I was thrown in the deep end, really, because they were touring everywhere. Very professional band, very, very good musicians. And I had to learn quick. I used to play through an echo chamber and things like this, and they said, the first thing they said to me was, you have to get rid of that echo chamber for a start, and you have to move, and I had to kind of move myself around like Elvis Presley. We always had these movements where we moved our hips together, which takes some doing for 3/4 of an hour to all do this in time, in unison. It was weird. But he taught me a lot. He took me out of the wings of the stages because I had a habit of disappearing off the stage because I was so shy. I didn't really want to come out. So all the people would see, and especially people like my relatives, and they say, well, where's Richard? And, well, there's the guitar sticking out of the wings. That's him. And all they could see was the neck of the guitar. But Dave Sutch kind of took me out onto the stage and started throwing me about. And I thought he was totally crazy. I wish I'm not sure whether he is or not. Coming out of coffins and things like this and dressing up in savage gear and loincloths and things like this. 62, 63, we were into a very heavy kind of rock, hard type of Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, Screaming Lord Sutch and Savages. Very hard type of basic rock with a rhythm and blues bass. And then the Beatles came out and it was all harmonies along with the Hollies. And one had to sing, and I didn't sing. I could hardly talk at the time. And so I was into just playing the guitar and things, very hard rock and roll, distorted guitar solos, which were out of vogue at the time. It was all pleasant vocal harmonies. And that lasted about 4 years until Hendrix and the Cream came onto the... The Savages actually kicked me out because I wasn't quite good enough. They'd had some really brilliant lead guitarists. One, I think, was Bernie Watson. And then Carlo and the bass player were going on to join Cyril Davis and the All-Stars. And I was left kind of to get on with something else. So Joe Meek heard about this and said, oh, how about joining my band, the Outlaws? So I said, okay. Sounds good to me. I mean, the band The Outlaws were more well known than The Savages, so I was quite pleased. And once I joined The Outlaws about 2 weeks later, the savages came back, Cyril Davis's lot, half, Carlo, and said, how about rejoining? We've had second thoughts. And I thought, well, I can't, you know, obligated to this band now. So, I was lucky. I don't have any of the records that I performed on, but it must have been a good 400 records. People like Michael Cox, and Danny Rivers, and Freddie Starr, Hines, even Tom Jones, and a few backing tracks there, and all sorts of weirdo people. Not, I'm not saying he's weird. There were some very strange people that came up to the studio that used to play in, not actually 4/4 time, there'd be folk guitarists that were playing 3.8 time, which was 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, and 1, and it's this like jerk, and you'd have to go with the jerk on the session because he couldn't play in 4/4. Joe was very secretive about the things he did. He would often tell me that he'd been speaking. I used to come into a session sometimes, and you'd say, "I've been speaking to Buddy last night. I'd spoken to Buddy." I go, "Buddy?" He goes, "Yes, Buddy Holly." And he told me that we must do this record, and we would go into a certain session. You know, the Buddy Holly things with tribute to Buddy Holly and that Mike Berry things. He actually thought that he could communicate with Buddy Holly and people like that. He was a character. After being with Such, then going with Joe, it was, this is probably why it accounts for the way I am today, completely schizo, you know, having been thrown at the deep end with these people and having led really a sheltered life up until this point. We used to have this habit of going to places in a van, and we used to buy these 4-pound flour bags and split them open along with eggs and tomatoes and just throw these things at people that we'd see on the way, preferably old women in wheelchairs. But it got out of hand, we became very cocky and started throwing them at the policemen and all sorts of people. It was great fun, but it got us into a lot of trouble until literally every week we would be doing a session at Joe's, and Joe would say, "There's a policeman downstairs, and who is it this time?" And it would always be me. And so I was in trouble so much that I think that Chaz had to cover for me. I said, "Chaz, if you don't cover for me, they're going to put me away for 3 months." Because somebody had complained that they'd been injured by a flour bag somehow, knocked somebody's eye out or something. So he said that it was him that did it. He pleaded guilty in the court. Luckily, it was his first offense. It was my 20th. One of the things was, when we would be throwing these flour bags and doing all this nonsense, we had our telephone number in big bold type above the van saying, "Please call the Outlaws, telephone number, North London." So I was saying, of course, the police did that. That's why we were caught out so many times.